looking at Isaiah's visions. Last week we saw, as Sarah preached, Isaiah's resume. It was so good to hear about all the things that the Messiah, Jesus, would accomplish. Wonderful Counselor was one of them, a giver of great counsel. And all the things that Jesus is, he is for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Yeah, I've been looking at myself different parts of Isaiah and the prophecies that are there. Many of them are partially fulfilled in Isaiah's lifetime or right afterwards. But all of these things that look forward to the Messiah are eventually fulfilled by Jesus himself. Some of them are only fulfilled by Jesus. There's no human that came along and fulfilled any of them except for Christ. And so today is fascinating. It's Isaiah 49, and please turn there with me if you would. I got to keep things short. The more important thing is coming up, so I'm going to do my best to be memorable, and then we'll turn the mic over to the kids. Isaiah 49, and here is one of the servant visions of that Isaiah had that he relays to the people. So as soon as you have that, would you stand with me? Isaiah 49 is about halfway through the Bible, somewhere in there. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. From the prophet Isaiah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word, this good word you've given to us. And we ask that it would speak to us today, not merely as words on a page, but as words to our heart. Help us to listen with our spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.'" This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers: "Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord calls out to Israel here through his prophet Isaiah. He chose her as a precious people, a holy nation. He calls her his servant. But she responds that she failed. All her labors in life were spent to nothing as they were there in exile and feeling the complete loss of that. There was an emptiness. And so God spoke again, hope to her, calling her again to fulfill her calling. Again, she will be a precious people unto God, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. Exodus 19, verses 5 through 6 says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant," this is God speaking to Israel, "then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And so Moses did. And we could leave it there. Really, a lot of people do. A little later in Jesus' day, Israel just wanted to have their act together. They had their temple, their chief priests, their Pharisees, and their scribes to help teach the law. If everybody just does their job, it'll be good enough, they thought. Eyes down, nose to the grindstone, no interruptions. Let's just get it right this time. Forget about everybody else. Let's just get this religious thing right, they thought. And so they did. They did their best, they thought. They didn't worry about anybody else. And it got a little bit ugly. The Pharisees made sure it got a little bit ugly. I like this photo. This is a cute version of what the Pharisees did. There was a whole wildlife competition that happened. I might save a few more of these photos. I thought they were great. The Pharisees wanted to do everything they could to boss everyone around. They didn't need the Spirit to help. They just had everything figured out. Let's just do our thing. Forget about the rest of the world, they thought. Some even thought the Messiah would come if everyone just obeyed the law on the same day, one perfect human day, then the Messiah will come. I'm glad the Messiah did not wait for all of humanity to get one day right. And that was actually never Israel's call. Genesis 12, verses 2 through 3, God called out to Abraham and said, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You see that? From the very beginning, the others around Israel were a part of Israel's call. Some must have thought, well, maybe out of the overflow of Abraham and his people, maybe from that they will be blessed. Maybe just the leftovers will bless the nations. But there's a lot of nations, right? I don't know how much leftovers it would take. I enjoy leftovers. I really do. I hope we bring home some leftovers today. But it's never quite like the main dish, right? I don't think leftovers is the calling here. God would not forget his promise and his calling to Israel. Even when Israel feels her failure, as we see in today's scripture, God is calling them back to it, not to plan B. Did you notice? He's calling them back to plan A. When they are a little people surrounded by an oppressing empire, God calls them to plan A, their biggest, greatest calling, a light for the Gentiles. And he says it, we saw it again. We'll just say it again. Verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant and restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation shall reach to the ends of the earth. What a calling. Even though Israel was despised by the nations, they would see the light of God's beauty and truth through Israel. And so the big question is, how? How are they going to do this? How is God going to accomplish that? A quick Bible lesson on Isaiah in the second half. This is one of four servant songs that they're called. We're going to see another one next week. God is calling out to his servant. And it's obviously Israel, because it says Israel as a people. It's Israel, all the people of God. But then you start to hear these little cues. He's talking about one person. How is Israel one person? Verse 2 in our scripture today, we hear of his mouth. How can the servant Israel have one mouth? Or how can one servant Israel restore collective Israel? Verse 7, the you is singular in our scripture today. Or chapter 53, one servant will die for all of Israel. Somehow there's Israel and Israel, and there's a collective and there's a singular. And how does that all work? How will one person of Israel represent all Israel? Now, a spoiler alert, because I just get a little bit of time today. There is one who is coming who will represent all of Israel. This one is anointed, and we start to hear the hints of this all throughout Isaiah. This is where the word Messiah comes from, the anointed one, the Christ, the one that will come. And of course, you're here during the Advent season. The cross is behind me. You know where I'm going with this. We are on this side of a living and dying Savior, Jesus. We can't fail to see him all throughout these pages. They had, at that time, in Isaiah's day, they only had the faith to walk in. But we can see now a lot of what they only hoped for, what they could only dream about, that one was coming to save all Israel. And so we can quote with Simeon in the temple when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus there. Simeon had been waiting to see the Lord's anointed. And so he said of Jesus, quoting our scripture today, he said, Luke 2:32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Our God is a missional God who goes to others. He goes to the different, the surprises, the ones we weren't looking toward, the them, the others. He's the one who goes. He's the one who showed through Jesus that salvation wasn't just for the Jews, it was for the Gentiles all along. And then when the early church erred in its own way and God commissioned the Apostle Paul, who reminded the Apostle Peter face to face because of his own calling that the gospel is for the Gentiles and not just for the Jews. Jesus, the light of the world, was coming. We celebrate that today. We have a God who comes to the others. I love these artwork. We've all at some point seen a picture of Jesus and thought, well, that's not what Jesus wore. That's not his skin color, you know? And then we realize that is a people who sees Jesus as one of their own, representing them. And this is one our Western culture might more traditionally see, but here's a couple others. Madonna and Child in the East. And among Arabic speaking in the East. Our God is a missional God who goes to the others. And so what does that mean for us? Well, we err often as Israel did, right? Keep our nose to the grindstone. Don't worry about anybody else. Let's just get me figured out, right? Get my act together. Get my list checked off. But we know God is calling us to the others. Or for a church, we just think, oh, if we could just get the ones back who left in the pandemic, or, you know, so-and-so hasn't been here for a while, if we can just get them back in church, we'll be doing great as a church. But God is always calling us, looking backwards and forwards. God is calling us onward. God is calling us to much more than even what we can dream or visualize. And our culture tempts us away from that. Our culture tells us don't talk politics and religion. Okay, yeah, don't talk politics, maybe. but share our faith, for sure. God calls us to share about him. May we as the people of God never forget our call. I'll close with this image of a polished arrow. You might have seen that. How many have shot arrows before, more than just in a gym at one point? Yeah, I got to tell you, my arrows do not look that polished. So I think it's a mixed image. And I think the image is this. When something is polished, it reflects light. It glints, and you see it. And if you're on the other side of the battlefield, you don't necessarily want to see those arrows. And if they glint, you're going to see them. And the point is that they'll be effective, that they'll be shot and they'll land where they need to. And God is calling, here it says his nations are his arrows. So they're going to be ready to fly, ready to go to another place. And they're going to be glinting with light. Isn't it amazing that the light of Jesus has shone this far? Just think about this. Here next weekend, all around the world, like every single time zone, there will be peoples of God celebrating the coming of the Savior to us, all of us, around the world. That's how far the arrows have flown. And so we ask, are we done? Is the mission totally accomplished? Is the light done shining? And if you answer with me, not quite, not yet, you're reminded of the reason Jesus came. And so until he comes again, our own calling to shine the light. Let's have a prayer. And as we do, I want to mention a prayer request for Lori's family. Lori Hagman-Zylstra lost her mom, Eleanor, this week. And we want to pray for the family and also her sister, who is so close, Carol. So Lori's sister, to be clear, which sister, yeah. So let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, thank you for wrapping your arms of love around those of us who lose someone. Right now, we're asking for that, for Lori, for Chessa, for Shannon. Lord, for Carol and the whole family, you'd wrap your arms of love around them in this time. Thank you that she was a shining light, Lord. We thank you for the grace and the joy of a new child coming, Lord, and ask you'd be with Jake and Jessica De Bruin in this time. And for all of us, Lord, that we would be a light, a bright, shining light, knowing that we can only shine your light, and we can only do that by reflecting. So we praise you, Lord. It's not by our cleverness or our own wit or our own smartness or anything, Lord, that we shine your light best, but by your glory and just allowing you to speak through us. Help us in that, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.